Video Llama. Welcome back to Video Llama, your number one superstore, including laser discs now, where we take your request for a topic and give you our recommendations. We received a request from a dying, decrepit woman who is obviously suffering from dementia last week, and she asked for a horror movie directed by a woman with no nudity. I mean, what even is that?
What's a woman with no nudity? Is she a never nude?
A Barbie.
She's stitched into her clothes.
No, Barbie's, she can get nudie. She just doesn't have anything there.
She has no gender.
She's like a character from an anime, if I'm not mistaken.
It depends on the anime. my name is Linda, but as always, you can call me the Cheese, and this week I'm the Cheesaduk. Or Elrond Cheesard.
I'm just gonna be Adrian. I'm still here.
And as always, I'm Don Don the Hedgie.
Don Johnson, awesome!
Don't you say Jesus, how can you always be the Cheese when this is our second episode?
Well, because in every show I'm the Cheese. That never changes. My life, I'm the Cheese.
You're squeeze cheese. You're not sometimes. Even real. You're not even real.
Why can't you just be normal?
But mom, what else isn't real?
Anyway, so this week we're covering My Choice. That's right. Take a look. It's Babadook on Videorama. Videorama.
Oh, it's song time?
What the shit is this?
No, it's like this.
Fuck this thing.
Shimmy to the left, shimmy to the right, shimmy to the left.
That's what you do when you get a turd loose from your ass. You shimmy from one side to the other until that little nugget wiggles its way loose.
A duck, if you will.
Yes. Which is this movie.
Highly disagree. I love this movie. It's a fucking classic. It's brilliant. In my mind, it is the Babadook or Mr. Duck to you.
Yeah, that's Mr. Babadook. It's said on the book, Mr. You will call him such.
Yeah, they did genderify him. They did.
Babadook!
He's a very important icon of the LGBTQ community.
A forced icon,
somehow.
Not forced. Yeah.
It is forced, but it's not.
Well, the question is,
listeners, we completely all disagree on this movie.
Absolutely.
Yes. We're going to find out. There are three points of the compass to reach at one of them.
Yeah. Tell us a story. Okay. Are you ready for story time?
As long as it ain't saying, bitch. Just tell us a story.
Mommy, she wouldn't believe me.
I'll set up baby traps in your home. Okay, watch. I'm going to smash Linda like,
My friend's in the middle of the road bleeding to death.
See, I'm really glad that this didn't come out when we were kids, because Donnie would have gotten ideas for weapons to murder me.
I didn't need ideas.
So anyway,
just for the record, snitches get stitches. You learn that. Snitch life.
There's this woman, Amelia, who, on her way to the hospital to give birth to her son, Sam, her husband and she get into a really bad accident, and her husband gets decapitated in a really awesome, gnarly way. And
we don't see.
You kind of see it like toward the end. Babadook's like, I'm your husband now. And he's like, oh no, where'd my head go? And he obviously did not live through it. And Fast forward to 7 years, and she has a problem being being close with her son and affectionate with her son. And she doesn't like to celebrate his birthday and tries to share, basically kind of take over her niece's birthday to celebrate Sam's birthday on her niece's birthday as well. Because, I mean, it makes sense if you think about it, because to celebrate on the day that he was born is also to celebrate on the day that she lost her husband. So
I always celebrate decapitations.
Welcome to Video Rama, where we celebrate decapitations.
I'm like an Italian at carnival in the 19th century.
Don't lose your head. anywho, so they find a book in their house one night with that's very graphic and horrific for children, showing this monster called Mr. Babadook, who is basically terrorizing this little boy, who's, I guess, Sam. And Sam is, like, he doesn't really sleep, and he's not what you would call normal. So he's like us, I guess.
And he makes improvised weapons to slay the monster under his bed. It's awesome.
And yeah. Carries a weapon to school.
Yeah, and he gets in trouble for bringing a dart gun that he made.
He makes a bow that shoots darts. It's like out of like a piece of wooden furniture and some shit. And it really looks like some shit you'd cobble together from the house. It's awesome.
Now, Donnie, I believe like we were talking about it earlier. You mentioned a weapon that we were able to bring to school.
Why, yes, it seems like only a week ago I mentioned this. It was when you and I were in school and everyone was taking paper clips and bending the metal into compound bows, which we would then attach a rubber band to, and then using toothpicks for arrows and slinging them at each other.
Oh, at my school, we didn't figure out the toothpicks. You guys were violent. Oh,
we were advanced.
Yeah, that's it. Advanced. So, yeah, so he's really just trying to protect his mom, which is really sweet if you think about it, but also really sad because, you know, he's...
they don't have any friends or anything. Nobody likes him.
Nobody likes him because he's different. He's different. And
nobody likes mom because she's extra special Australian.
Yeah, extra special Australians.
This is what we call normal Australians. I think I'm joking.
She keeps saying, oi, you know, drinking Fosters.
That's Australian for beer. Yeah. Shout out to friend of the show, Yahoo Serious. God. Our buddy.
Not Bon Scott, fucking Yahoo Serious.
Yahoo Serious. Babadook, like, even though Amelia, the mother, keeps trying to get rid of this book, the Babadook book keeps coming back, and the Babadook is real. And it possesses her at some point, and she tries to kill her son, and yeah.
Don't forget the most important part. When she kills the dog,
Babadook's
in her, she kills the dog.
Yeah, the fuck,
I thought you were going to say when she's masturbating with a vibrator and he jumps on the bed. Like,
everybody does that.
Can you imagine how fucking frustrating that would be? I mean,
I'm sure every hit him with the butt end of the dildo and tell him fuck off to La La Land. And then you just go back to clam jamming. Well,
this is why she gives her kids pills so he can sleep.
I said the butt end of the dildo.
And it's a vibrator anyway.
So it ain't gonna do anything but up the settings.
You guys are acting like there's only one kind of dildo. Come on, go to Bad Dragon. There's so many kinds.
Bad Dragon is art, okay? Those are artistic pieces. Those are not for sex.
It's a conversation starter. Never mind why it looks like that.
Shout out to all of our parent listeners out there, because I'm sure y'all know. Shout out to longtime
friend of the show, Bad Dragon.
Bad, yeah, woof!
one of our best Patreon supporters.
Oh.
Bad Dragon, you out there? So, anywho, yeah, I mean, that's got to be frustrating as hell. Like, either, you know, you're about to nut or you're about to bust and, you know, your kid comes in and it's like, son of a bitch. He's like,
and apparently, are you messing? When you really have a kid, you can't actually look him in the eye and finish up. That's not allowed. Somehow. Apparently, I'm the jerk.
Well, you got in trouble with the law because you did that on a bus, but that's a different story.
Yeah, we get to the Babadook story.
Like a ninja with that shit. You don't know.
So, anywho, yeah, it's the Babadook. And written and directed by the amazing Jennifer Kent, who used to actually be a teacher.
Jennifer Kent? Is that why you selected this movie? Because Jennifer Kent identifies as female?
And is this why she's awesome?
Yes, this is why she's awesome. Yeah.
Have you seen her other major motion pictures that she directed?
Went to and eventually taught at NIDA, the National Institute of Dramatic Art. She was ahead of Essie Davis, who played Amelia, and taught Daniel Henshaw, who played Robbie, who's trying to get into the family.
Somebody gonna get into these pants. Somebody gonna get into these pants.
These pants. There she studied and earned her degree in acting, but she became no longer interested in acting and wanted to learn more about directing films, making films. And she didn't want to go back to school, so instead of that, she actually worked as an apprentice to Lars von Trier in the production of Dogville.
Yay.
Yes, definitely yay. And she called that time working on that the best film school, and really thought that Lars von Trier was quite genius, and I agree.
She has only directed two feature films.
And then she and Lars von Trier got some aluminum bats, and they drove over by Larry Clark's house, and they smashed his mailbox, and yeah. Then they threw a brick through his window and made him cry.
But this was based on a short film of hers called Monster, which you can find on YouTube. And it's basically the same premise, which supposedly she got because one of her friends was a single mother. And her son was being plagued by a monster he thought was real.
Nightmare, yeah.
And the only way that his mother could stop it being such a problem was she ended up starting to talk to the monster. So she thought, hey, that's interesting, and turned it into a movie.
You weren't supposed to help her.
A lot of parents have done that, actually. It helps a lot.
It must, but... Also, Kent said that, quote, I'm very fascinated by what happens to people when they don't face things and when they push down on difficulties in themselves. Where does that go? So someone had a tragic experience and they had to deal with it. How does it set in their life, or how does it sit in their life? And I guess the Babadook was just an exploration of that idea told in a very heightened way. And she also said that it's up to the viewer to decide if it's supernatural or if it's psychological.
It's supernatural because the Babadook's real, Mom. You can't get rid of the Babadook. Babadook, Duke.
That being said, what do we know about the box office?
I'm glad you asked, Lita. Well. Funny thing about the box office is that this movie premiered in...
Amy, what happened?
Ah!
What did you do? Amy, this is serious.
Ah!
Damn it! Where is it, Amy? Where is my money?
Amy... Amy, what do you want to do?
Duke.
Duke. Amy and I decided that this movie came out on January 17th of 2014 at Sundance. Then it went to Australia in May of that year, on the 22nd. And then it came into the American box office, although most people would not have noticed, on November 28th of 2014, where it opened on, guess what number?
Your
number mom? 44.
Wow. So it is his mom. How about
that? Four. Yeah, so it opened behind stuff like The Hunger
was
Games.
Was it number five is alive?
No, number five was Horrible Bosses 2.
Oh.
And then there was Dumb and Dumber 2, T-O.
Oh.
And bullshit like Big Hero 6 and Interstellar. Penguins of Madagascar was out. People were seeing a whole lot of things that weren't this. Gone Girl, Theory of Everything. The Imitation Game, I guess. I guess some people saw that if they hate themselves.
Well, you needed something to cleanse your soul after Gone Girl, yes.
Gone Girl. Talking
Get
about
on.
Gone Girl.
Get out of here, girl!
I'll take my death because fuck you!
And I want to have sex with MPH. I mean, living the dream.
You can pick any sex. That would be the sex.
Yeah.
So, what... I'm sorry, did you share the budget? Do you know what it was?
Oh, yeah, it made money. What do you want? Yeah.
Okay.
No. It only cost $2 million and it made $10.3 million.
Damn. Okay, that works.
No, so that's solid fucking profit. Like, for those big-ass bullshit Hollywood blockbusters, if you triple your money, you're a hit. And this thing made five times the money. So that's hella fucking money, son.
So it's hit.
Those investors, they were like on a Burger King budget. And by the time that was over, they could eat at Five Guys. Shit was real.
Yeah, yo. Five Guys.
I wish I was eating at Five Guys.
Bud Ruckers, if they're lucky.
Corn Shucker, real motherfucker.
So, I guess it's my time to share a little bit more about the movie.
A little bit more?
A little bit more.
Oh my.
Linda knows stuff. Don't act all surprised. I'm allowed to know stuff. Yeah. Kent told the Film Journal that The Babadook is a film about a woman waking up from a long metaphorical sleep and finding that she has the power to protect herself and her son. She noted that everybody has some sort of Babadook darkness to face, like beyond genre and beyond being scared. That's the most important thing in the film, facing your shadow side. And I know you love this, Adrian. In an interview with UpRocks, William Friedkin... Freaky Friedkin, director of The Exorcist, said that The Babadook was one of the best and scariest horror films he'd ever seen. He especially liked the emotional aspect of the film, saying, quote, "It's not only the simplicity of the filmmaking and the excellence of the acting, not only by the two leads, but it's the way the film works slowly but inevitably on your emotions."
I directed Bug and Rules of Engagement and The Guardian, and you're supposed to pretend what I say still matters. Never mind that the last time I made a good movie, it was the 80s, like the early 80s. I'm going to keep pretending that I matter. I'm William Friedkin. You know my name.
This is the scariest movie I've ever seen, and I don't see scary movies, but believe me, it shook me.
Like, it scared me so much, I'd call it Friedkin.
It inspired me to go back to my film, The Exorcist.
I was Friedkin scared.
I re-edited it yet again to make more money.
Yeah, the real cut you've never, ever seen.
Yeah. It's like, how come this scene looks like it was shot in 2019? Shut up, I shot that in 73. It was lost.
Shout out to my cat, Pazuzu. Mr. Pazuzu Khan.
Oh,
but yeah, don't bother watching his documentary on a real possessed person. Oh yeah, not good.
Don't watch anything that William Friedkin did from The Guardian onwards. It's all shit from there.
So apparently Kent had a lot of people fighting her on the ending, and but she felt, and I totally agree, that it's the most crucial thing to keep that thing alive on some level. She said, quote, "I recently heard Russell Brand talk about addiction, and he was saying that it's every day. It's every day.
Bro,
I'm fortunate enough not to be in that kind of place, but every human being goes through that on some level." And that's true. I mean, she can't, if I feel like in an American, if this film was made in America, then it would have been all about like destroying the monster and everything is great after that.
It really depends on how big a release it is, but the modern mainstream horror is all some shit where everybody is pretty and they have pretty problems. They have pretty
good
problems.
That's more common than the everything's all right, because people are embracing more of the darkness, that things are never all right.
But one of the many, many terrible, more recent horror films that I was mentally comparing this to, and I compared it favorably to, was shit like Haunting in Connecticut.
Oh, you know?
Yeah. Which is just yet another stupid possession movie. It's like, look, these vomiting magic and shit. It's like, it's a true story. It's like, yeah, one time somebody moved into a house in Connecticut. Fucking shocked me.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying before we started recording, they did do a remake, just called it Come and Play. And the son in that is autistic because that's what sells. And of course, yeah, the mom is a single hot mom and she can do everything because she don't need no help. But she's not actually single, but whatever. She should be, because the guy that had birthed the child to her is pretty useless. But even that, it's like,
out of his pee-pee.
See, even with that, it's like, it still follows beat for beat all the shit the Babadook did.
So wait, time the Australian kid says that his dad died when he was going to go get born, this guy's like, my dad ejaculated and I got born later.
Yeah, it's like, my dad watches a parking lot for a living. It's like, just tell him he's dead. Okay.
watching people like, fuck in parking lots.
But people liked this versus the Babadook from reviews I saw, because the monster was killing people. It was terrifying the fuck out of the friends and bullies that the kid had, and it was killing people. And because I don't give a fuck about the movie, it ends with the kid going off with the creature. He's like, I want to keep my family happy because I love SpongeBob and I'm Ree, so yeah. And then the mom's like, no, fuck you. You're a special child. You stay here. I'm going to sacrifice myself. So the mom heads off with the Baba Doomy, and she becomes a ghost that now haunts the house and dances with her son.
What? Wait, because, what's one of those bullshit things?
Yeah.
That's like I didn't know I was the killer the whole time ending. It's like, what do we end every horror film with? Well, we got to end it all the same way. They can't have different endings.
I've been watching a lot of stuff on Shudder lately, and like, you get those every now and then where it's just like, really, like, where it's okay, but then like the ending happens and it's like, shut the fuck up, get out of here. But according to Rolling Stone, the name which Kent invented is Babadook is a riff on Babaroga, the Serbian name for the boogeyman.
Turns
out that Robert knew that.
Kent said, quote, I'm not a parent, but I'm surrounded by friends and family who are, and I see
that's a parent.
God damn it. And I see it from the outside, how parenting seems hard and never ending. I thought the film was going to get a lot of flack for Amelia's obvious shortcomings as a mother, but oddly, I think it's given a lot of women a sense of reassurance to see a real human being up there. We don't get to see characters like her that often. And I feel like that's true, and it's an important aspect of this that, like, I mean, once I'm not a parent either, but I feel like it's important to have a movie, to have, like, to portray a character, a parent, as not always like, I love being a parent. I love my child.
Well, you should never have perfect characters, for one thing. Like, that's bullshit. Like, Commander Riker can go fuck himself. Put him in the blender.
Yeah.
fuck that man. Fuck you, perfect ass next gen cast. You suckwad shit.
Number one, take a number two.
I have to argue though. I really don't think they portray them as parenting as awesome. They do have, even like in The Conjuring, even with the families there, they do have their moments of shut the fuck upness. But they do it in a way where you're not actually flat out saying, shut your cunt hole of a mouth.
I'm not saying that it never happens. I'm just saying that it seems like the majority of movies are like, you're not allowed to dislike your kids at any point.
Well, the problems that people have, the familial and like emotional and relationship problems that people have in these kind of mainstream like Pretty People movies, they're kind of like the problems in Fireproof, where you say, "Oh darn," and "Oh shucks," "I wish you'd be quiet right now," once in a while, and you never say, "Bitch, will you shut your fucking cunt mouth?"
And like, how about you eat shit?
Honestly, I wish more movies had balls to actually kill the fucking kids, because those days need to come back.
Yeah, the late 70s and the early 80s where literally anybody could die. There was not a safe person to be
the kid and the dog will
live. It's like, and no, they'll be disemboweled later.
Kind of funny that you mentioned that, because she was highly influenced by like a lot of Polanski films. Mm-hmm. Like Polanski, like the family public horror.
Ones or the private ones?
Oh my God.
I should hope the public ones. But she also was influenced heavily by the silent black and white films and that sort of heightened reality.
I got that on the TV there too, you know, like on the TV she'll be watching the commercial for 1-900-EASY. You know, the kid's watching his magician DVDs. There's the silent film, and then there's a part from Mario Bava's Black Sabbath on there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But which is available on Shudder now too. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And but she's either way, like I think she's one thing I really really enjoy is that she's a very real character. In that she's like it's this heightened reality, but she's also very real in that like she's not perfect. And she's a gorgeous actress, but they really play that down and they make her look like disheveled. And, you know, she hasn't fucking slept for a couple days.
It's like when Charlize Theron had the balls to play a real person.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
But you're just doing that with her. You're raising the same thing.
No, because like it's with Charlize Theron. Tyra Banks had
the guts to wear that fat suit.
But anyway, for the production they used I guess like it was all centered around the book, and for artists for the book, she wanted someone who could really make it look handmade. And
that book's awesome.
Isn't it though?
It's a pop-up book.
Yeah, it's
pop-up books were cool.
Yeah, I highly, highly agree. And it was all centered around that book, and she wanted that theme of like of a storybook. And I'm sorry, I don't have the name of the guy who did it.
They did that book and they did like a real bang up job. Yeah.
But anyway, it was I believe that it's Alexander Juhas. I think I'm saying that right.
Alexander Juhas and his ragtime band.
But she used his work as a reference point when they were trying to find the right artist for it. And eventually she was just like, why don't we just ask him to do it? he was interested, so they went with it. But for the themes, they had sort of like a dark house and lighter clothes when they're in the house, but when they're out of the house, they wear dark clothes and kind of bring that darkness with them.
There's like a little rain cloud over them.
Yes, a metaphorical rain cloud.
Mommy, I'm going to smash its head.
Shades
Mommy,
of,
there's a plane in the sky.
They went with shades between black and white and different shades of blues and burgundies for the set and for the clothes. Nothing like green or yellow or brown. And yeah, so Alex Holmes was the production designer. And Kent says that he was the real genius behind the movie. And yeah, I feel like
so he had a laser satellite, pop some popcorn.
Yeah. It's my own design. But yeah, so really, I love it because it's just this, you know, I love the psychological movies. I love the movies with different layers where you can find a different story.
Like an onion.
Every time. Like an onion. And that's why I love it. And I think it's brilliant because, you know, it's not about defeating your grief or it's defeating the pain. Yeah, it's living with it and sometimes nurturing it and accepting it. And not until she can accept it and live through it and sort of nurture it can she actually fully celebrate and appreciate her son and show him that affection that he so desperately needs.
Because there is a man inside me, and only when he is out can I walk free of pain.
I wish there was a man inside me right now.
I wish there was a man inside me.
I hope this woman that's near death, elderly, and has dementia appreciates the movie as much as you do.
Because
I think not.
Can you hear her death rattle through the answering machine?
We need a death rattle. No, let's get Adrian first.
Well, I am right in the middle of you two because you fucking basic bitches don't realize that you really don't have to have that strong opinion on what is a solid movie. It is a solid movie. It's a good C+. It did a lot of things right. I appreciate it more for what it was not than what it was, but I did like the movie. But that's also because most of the movies that come out streaming from like the last 10 years are just utter shit. They're all over the top. They're brainless. There's fucking no new ideas. Like, Donnie, you brought up Come Play. It's like, oh, look, their monster has all kinds of killings. Like, it doesn't fucking matter how many killings you have if they aren't any good. You know, jump scares and shit. Like, the horror genre is so badly abused because it's always undervalued. People think that horror can't be used for anything. They think it's all Texas Chainsaw Massacre knockoffs,
or
Friday the 13th knockoffs. You know, lampshaded shit with tits. You know, like weak ass supernatural true story shit. Whereas the Babadook, you know, it is a sweet movie that walks the line, has enough realistic elements. It is stylistic. It has a good aesthetic to it. There's a lot of static camera, which I like. You know, the director, she knew what she was doing. You know, it's nothing to scream about. It's nothing to rave about. You're not gonna fucking float a turd being like, oh my god, you guys. You know, like, now people typically overreact, especially when they find something halfway
they
decent.
Do.
Like when Donnie Darko came out, everybody was like, oh my fucking god, you guys, Donnie Darko. And I'm like, yeah, it was all right. And then like, but the more they loved it, the more I was like, I'm never watching that again.
Yeah, I enjoyed Donnie Darko, but that was another one of those ones where you're right. Like, something somewhat different comes along and people just kind of jizz their pants over
it. I was into that one just as long as it took me to meet the fans. Because then I met two people who were like, oh yeah, I saw Donnie Darko, it was good. They're like, no, it was fucking good.
it changed my life.
Dude, like, wasn't that good, you know?
Why don't you suck a fuck?
Yeah, why don't you suck a fuck? You know, but is Jake Gyllenhaal even still around now? It's like,
yeah, and but, so is Maggie Gyllenboobs.
The Gyllenboobs, I know you love the Gyllenboobs. But anyway, like Babadook hasn't been ruined for me the way that Donnie Darko has. But it's kind of like that. It's like, yeah, this is a solid C+. This did a lot of things right. I like how not everybody's pretty and sparkly. You know, I like how her problems are somewhat relatable. I love how her kid walks the line between being completely annoying shithead a lot of the time, but still being kind of sweet and cute, you know, and being and not being a typical kid. You know, it doesn't have to be like regular, like baseball practice kid or like weeaboo kid or like full on autism kid, because when they do autism kid in the movies now, they can't do it subtle. You know, no, what are you talking about? Those kids with the short bus, they're over the top. You can really tell, you know.
Yeah,
there was some subtlety and restraint, which I respect. Again, C plus. I'm C plus on this one.
That's a fair good enough. Grade.
Donnie. No, Donnie, I
don't hate the movie because of the director. I didn't hate it because of the kid, even though the kid, I really wanted them to die at some points.
Yeah.
It's definitely. Or the fact the monster wasn't a monster and was just a fucking metaphor. I hated
what's
the hype
metaphor?
Built around
it. Stupid.
I hated the hype around the film, and because of its subject matter, that somehow because it deals with this and it's all a fucking metaphor for depression and mental illness, that somehow it immediately elevates its status over what it was. Like you said, it's a solid C grade film. It's the same thing that happens to like THX 1138. People are like, oh my God, it's the most amazing fucking sci-fi film. It is a boring snooze fest. You can't even jerk off while watching that film. You're just like, why?
Did you try though?
I did several times. But it's the thing.
And
though,
again, I like THX 1138 a damn sight more than I like the rest of George Lucas' career.
But it's like you also have in the whole thing of how Tumblr made a joke about let's make him the fucking icon for the LGBTQ. So then you have all these people from that going, oh my God, this is so amazing. We have to make this something cool. And then they go see the film and like, why the fuck is he our mascot? He's not fucking gay. It's nothing to do with that at all. It's like,
wait,
oh, it's just
there's Tumblrinas.
Like,
no,
okay,
they don't need to see it.
It got so taken seriously that fucking, I think it was Shout Factory, put out a special Pride version of the fucking film that has a rainbow cover on it. And I'm like, you know, I thought it was bad enough when we had like 10 versions of fucking Army of Darkness coming out in the same fucking cuts with different names and packaging for a year. But holy fuck me in the asshole. What were you doing and what were you thinking with this? But it's because people are elevating the fuck out of this movie that's just so mediocre. It's just, there are other movies that do what she was doing. It's not revolutionary, and they did it better in some instances, and they got away with it and made a lot more money. I just didn't like that so many people hyped this as being either the scariest thing they've ever seen, the most original thing they've ever seen, or it's just amazing because it deals with mental illness.
Donnie,
it was just meh.
Real talk, they might not have seen that many movies.
And at the same time, it's when did they get told this was about mental illness? After the fact, because you said the director says she's leaving it up to people to interpret what this is, or is it just people sniffing their own shit? If this was something you were told beforehand, because you had said when we were talking before this that you immediately got it because it's just like, boom, you're there and that's why you loved it. But I still, even based off of that, I don't see, without even any of that to do with it, just the film itself, no messages, no onion layers, how it is elevated to the status of amazingly awesome and brilliant, because it just doesn't carry that weight behind it. It's an experience that once you're over with, if you liked it, cool, that's good for you. If you want to revisit it, I guess. It just doesn't strike me as one of those films that you want to keep rewatching. It's something that you'll have and then go, oh yeah, that's right, I have that. I haven't seen that in a couple of years. I'll pop it in. But it just doesn't have to me like the longevity that people seem to be giving to it because they elevate that status so highly. It's like, if anything, if you ever don't play the game, but Overwatch. Overwatch is a PvP game where all you do is kill the other people, be the last person standing or the last team standing. Tumblr has a fucking arcane...
It's porn.
Yes, not only porn, but like libraries full of backstory on all these characters, on which characters are gay, which ones are straight, which ones are asexual.
They just did
so
that
because
they like Tracer's butt crack.
Yeah,
fuck,
it's like they
Overwatch.
Have so much of this shit, but you're like, wow, this sounds like a really amazing game. I gotta check it out. There's no fucking story in this game. Everything that made it popular is from
so
the people
the
that started implying all these things or shipping characters. So it's like, good on you for loving the thing, But when people hear this and hear how stoked they are about the game and they see all the artwork and shit, they're expecting to see that story. They're expecting to see all this built up hype in that. But when they get in there, there's nothing. It's like even our cousin Jenny bought into that. She was like, oh my God, I really want to play this game because everyone's all about it. And she tried it. She's like, this game is boring. She's like, eh.
Well, you know, but the state of filmmaking now is like people will project anything out of desperation because there's nothing. Yeah. They'll even pretend that Christopher Nolan movies mean something.
Exactly. Well, Christopher Nolan even thinks the movies mean something. He wanted you to die during the pandemic to see his movie in a theater.
Cockwad.
I'm not like I love the movie. I think it's brilliant, but I can see where you're coming from. But I'm not claiming like it's the greatest movie of all time. And
it was brilliant. That's why I'm asking.
No, like, how, I do. I honestly feel like it's brilliant because it's. I mean, but. We're never going to feel the same way because you don't have same taste as I do. And well, that's absolutely. Fine.
That's why I'm saying, I'm just trying to get your mindset on this. Like what to you makes it brilliant is what I'm trying to say.
Well,
like, I'm not
trying
to pick you apart and like punch your face off.
No,
like,
no, I know.
It's your fucking problem.
No. And I get that. And I'm just saying that like, I agree with that. Like we have different tastes, so we're going to have different definitions of what is brilliant. Oh, but yes. For me, I mean, it's not like the greatest movie of all time, but I love it because it's such a deep story that really, like, if you've experienced grief, if you're a parent know any kids, like it can, if you like that sort of movie, it can really, like I love the movies that help you experience somebody else's perspective and different emotions.
Life is a house.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I like that kind of jumping into somebody else's life and perspective idea. And
also probably not the territory of you like it because it's something you can relate into. And again, that's what I was saying, like, without getting into the layers of the film, just the story as is presented to you. It's like, how is it brilliant to you? Like, why do you love it is what I'm trying to get at. Because if what you're saying is why you love it, then that's cool. It's awesome.
But well, because for me personally, like my whole life, I mean, you know me, I have a problem of facing my emotions and I've always tried to just ignore them. And tamp them down, and then they come up as like an anxiety attack or whatever. And I'm okay now with saying that I've been seeing a therapist just to help me with that. And you know, with our dad passing, like I started seeing a therapist because I don't know how to grieve. And I feel like this movie's really about that, about like, you know, people like me who don't really know how to face their emotions and how to process them. Like what happens when that's like, you keep doing that when you really should be letting it out and expressing it, living with it, accepting it.
Yeah.
And, you know, what can happen to the people around you.
Adrian, you're trying to chime in something. You're like holding on with bated breath.
But most importantly is you get to see a kid slammed up against the wall by an invisible monster.
Well, there's
and
you that
get to
too.
See the mom
yes.
strangle and break the dog's neck. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. And they've like got the neighbor lady. It's like, oh, you know, your child's so perceptive. You know, he knows that there's invisible monsters. I see invisible monsters all the time, dear.
She has Parkinson's, but just a little bit.
Just a slight Parkinson's.
Like Paul Williams said, he's done a lot of drugs through his life. So when the people from the fucking, oh God, I just forgot their name.
Oh,
the
no.
Random Access Memory guys.
Oh.
God, you know who I'm talking about. They just recently broke up. The Electric Group, you guys. You Random Access Memories. You don't know these people around the world.
No.
They did the soundtrack to Tron Legacy.
Wait. Oh,
God. They wear robot heads on
their
heads. Yeah, Daft Punk.
Daft Punk. He's like, yes, I've done drugs all through my life, so you can imagine what I thought when I saw these two guys appear in front of my house. That's like, you're funny, Paul Williams, and alive.
Yes, I was going to say, he's still alive.
Paul Williams and I are probably rocking out to the same stuff. So I'm like, who's a punk now? That's what they call you in jail when they make you do the duty. Oh,
you ever had your shit pushed in, son?
Jesus.
You're going on a trip. I saw you there last night.
That's what we call it. But while we were still talking about the about him becoming an icon for the LGBTQ community, there are two different I just gotta say there were two different theories on the origins for that. So apparently a lot of people thought that Netflix accidentally listed the Babadook as the LGBTQ movie.
Netflix have an accident? Never.
I know, right?
But, all the original content.
I've also heard that read that the that it was a Tumblr account, I believe, that was just saying as a joke to piss people off that were like very I guess like homophobic, saying that that the Babadook is gay and he's out and he's proud.
The Tumblr and was born to
apparently
piss me off.
Some
I was
going to
say,
were,
yeah.
Some people were being dicks and being like, fuck you, he's not gay. And he's saying, no, really, he's. And some guy.
Babadook's a ladies' man. You shut the fuck up.
Yeah, right. He gets all the poo.
It's all the pussy. It's falling out of his pocket.
Adrian, are you a Tumblr vet like me also?
I was I went on Tumblr. Yeah. I went on Tumblr in like 2016, and I really wish that I didn't, because
God damn it.
Look. I am a pretty fairly progressive person. I think, you know, I'm a gay person. I love, you know, art and shit. You know, and I love at the time. You can see lots of naked shit on there. It seemed like a great idea. And then immediately everybody's all like, oh my God, cancel. And I'm like, what the fuck? I thought we were just here to be on the internet and have a good time. You guys, what the fuck? It's like, no, cancel hard. Naked. And they're all 2016 Ghostbusters is the greatest movie ever. And if you hate it, you're just a hateful man. Exactly. Like, what the fuck? Why? No. God damn, you were all so right. Yeah,
it's
no,
like it
I
used to be.
This.
It used to be because as far as I remember back, it's like DeviantArt used to be the place until that got filled with trolls and bullshit. So then people are like, okay, we want to share our shit on Tumblr, but then it just got to where it is.
Yeah.
And yeah, there are, people love to do the whole, I'm going to ship these people with that person. And then another fandom says, you can't do that because that person's not gay. It's like, fuck you, they are for me. And then people go, I'm going to do this because it makes me upset. And then that's when other people come in like, you know what? I don't care if they're gay or not. It's fucking fiction. Do what you want. It's like, okay, it's official. And then people get pissed and go, dicks and pussies, not dicks and dicks.
They shipped fucking One Direction. And then there was an official One Direction gay fanfic that came out. Yeah. And I don't know if the One Direction guys were actually consulted or not, but it was official. Do I care what they think of people making gay porn of them? Not really, but I think that's...
They have daily lives.
Yeah, it's like some of those guys probably have kids. I don't know. I don't know of anything. I don't know
maybe
if anything matters.
Fuck them. I don't.
Fuck One Direction. You know, one D. They all care.
It was one person that was kind of feeding into that who created the screenshot of Netflix having him having the Babadook listed. But I fucking love it. If you ever look up the Babadook Pride, it's pretty fucking amazing. He's here. He's got the hot look. He's Babadook. So
it's like Herman Melville. There's so many gay layers in there. You just got to look for the gay layers.
Yeah.
Like the big ass dick.
Melville, big faggot. Allegedly.
Adrian's. I just let everybody know it's okay for Adrian to use that word. Not for us. we can only use that word when calling him,
especially in traffic.
So anywho's Donnie, were you able to find any reviews?
Donnie's reviews.
Fuck my life. Okay, so yes, I found a few. I even got more. We have the mother was sleep deprived. And they both needed therapy to work out their unresolved issues with dad dying. This was not scary. It's just sad. and tragic to see two such broken, oblivious souls so screwed up, and they don't even know it. Awful movie. Just went on and on. Couldn't wait for it to be over. So dull, I threw the DVD in the trash, lest anyone else waste 2 hours of his or her life watching it. Fundamentally, a movie about a single mom's dysfunctional relationship with her young son.
Okay, let's be real. I think most Americans saw this movie the first time streaming. Do you think they ordered the physical copy and threw it away just so they could say that they did?
Well, I mean, I did tell people to break apart a Nicolas Cage film instead of, you know, returning it. So,
which one? I thought there were many.
There were a
most
few
of them.
Yeah.
Most of them. I'm filled with rage and I've got a score to settle. Because I'm
bury it in salt.
An incoherent story with a wandering plot, awful editing, and lots of screaming from both the boy and his mother. Don't waste your time.
I kind of love that scene where you want to kill the kid. Why can't you be normal?
Honestly, the only part of this movie I can relate to, since that's what we're trying to do, is when the kid is getting hassled by the bitch during her birthday. It's like, why are you in my treehouse? It's my treehouse. Like, I ain't hurt nobody.
I can't believe we haven't talked about that. That, like,
spent about 50 minutes yodeling on. So
his cousin is in a little pink dress, and she has a little tiara on, and she's in the tree. It's like, get out to my tree house. I'm a princess.
She said, I'm not hurting anybody.
Yeah, I think I would have appreciated it more if it was like Problem Child, where she's like crying at her party, and it's playing that song. It's my party, I can cry if I want to. But the boys with, like, the Babadook, and they're fucking up all the presents and the guests. Like, the Babadook is just eating random kids and ripping their heads off. And the kid is, like, pissing on her pile of presents. And the parents are like, my God!
Did you want the Babadook to be played by Howie Mandel?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, like, okay, so Ruby, the little girl, her Amelia's niece and Sam's cousin... he's over at her birthday party, and she and her mom don't want him there because they don't like him. And Ruby is a little cunt, and so is her mother. And I was, I know I'm a terrible person, but I actually cheered when he pushed her out of the treehouse.
The broken nose.
Yes. Because she tells him, you're not even good enough to have a dad. Your dad died so he didn't have to be with you.
This is not wrong.
You suck.
Dad,
you
get it out of there.
You don't even look good while you're sucking. You're terrible. I hate you.
If I had a dime for every time I've heard that in the back alley.
Then she throws a dollar bill on him and says, clean yourself up. This is just what you're worth.
Now pick it up.
A little unrelated, but I also have a theory that Amelia wrote the book.
I know.
Because she says, like, at one point with the mothers at that party, she says that she used to be an author and that she wrote children's books. And when she goes into
she goes to birthday parties and suffers cunts.
Yeah. And she goes to the police department to say that somebody keeps putting this book in her house and it's creepy, and she's got charcoal all over her hands, which you assume that it's because she set fire to it.
I really like that scene in the police station. Yes,
but also it could just be that, like, because she was fucking drawing it and she's like with charcoal, like, shading it in. I don't know. I think she did.
I just say this is the same as Beyond the Door 2, a.k.a. Shock by Mario Bava.
Oh, God. I actually thought you were going to say Beyond the Valley of the Shadow of the Dolls, but...
The Village of the Dolls. But...
I'm doing my exercises, Mother.
Russ Meyer came up with some of the best titles ever. I mean, like, Beneath the Valley of the Ultra Vixens. That's just the best fucking title, man.
Speaking of best title...
Mm-hmm.
Back up! doctors of script.
Ooh.
Adrian?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. I propose the Babadook, part Duke. It's been a few years since the events of the Babadook, and a mysterious book has made it into the lives of some troubled teens. Little do they know that when you read from the book, you summon the Duke. Can they deal with their emotional traumas? And each one of them has like a specific emotional trauma. Can they possibly get rid of the Babadook? From the director of Annabelle Creation, starring the cast of the illustrious Wish Upon. See it in theaters or streaming. This isn't the sequel we deserve, but this is the one that we would get if anybody is able to license the title. I'm looking at you, Lionsgate.
That would be amazing, but I'm a horrible fucking human being. When you said troubled kids find the book, I'm like, so what do they do? Open it and start jerking off on the book?
Oh, that'd be Harmony Korine's Babadook Part Duke.
Covered in jizz.
There'd be a character called Sperm Ball. There'd be a guy with no legs. Yeah. No news to you. No news. And that one, the
like
monster.
Roddy McDowell going to come out dressed as Caesar or some shit and just like start pissing on the book. Oh, God.
You don't understand.
Caligula is a great film.
Okay. In the name of Senate, the people of Rome.
Oh God.
Train wrecks.
I had to redo mine because something else sounded better, I guess. But not really. It's been 5 years since the Babadook came into the lives of Amelia and Samuel. They are now living full, productive lives, contributing to society. Normal American family, you might say. But the Babadook, for the first time in a long time, was left alone to find himself and what was wrong with the Duke. The family pushed for them to try learning, becoming a part of the world around them. So they did. They began taking online courses in accounting, and within a year's time, a record no less, they were licensed and began working for a local firm of Goldstein and Starch. Baba was finding a place in the cogs of the working machine that is life. They even found a love interest. Things were looking good until they weren't. The Babadook's lover was diagnosed with brain cancer and three types of hepatitis. The accounting insurance wouldn't cover his medical expenses, and Amelia could do very little to help the Duke. So the Babadook did the only reasonable thing they could think of. They began growing pot for high school kids, whom the Babadook would then eat. But a success came rolling in, so did the DEA.
Are you with turning this into weeds?
With nothing to lose and everything to gain, the Babadook must outrace the authorities, outwit the angry parents of the devoured children, and make his medical bill payments on time. It's a heartwarming, edge-of-your-seat thrill ride from TriStar Pictures. Go see the Babadook in Baba Koosh.
God damn it.
Well, it was either that or the Baba Ganoush love story, and I think this has a little more value.
Oh, yeah, it's way more relatable.
Breaking
yes.
For mine, it's going to be a mix between... Babadook is going to be on boat trip. And Babadook is going to teach Cuba Gooding how to properly accept his emotions and come out, if you will, and to accept himself and be who he truly wants to be.
There's so many great movies out there with the gay subtext in them, and this just isn't one of them.
It's
no In and Out.
Why is everybody gay?
Subtext, goddamn. Talking
about I assure you, he was a sub.
But Well, Cuba Gooding Jr. on Boat Trip is what you would call a power bottom.
Remember when Cuba Gooding Jr. was on that show and he played O.J. Simpson?
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, everybody, Boat Trip was a real fucking movie.
Of course it was. It had Roger Moore in it.
Yes, it did.
Oh, God.
Oh, that fucking movie. Anyway, yeah.
Why did you remind us that it exists?
That's what I'm here for. You're welcome.
Hey, guys, remember Geely?
Oh, God.
Let's go back in time.
When Ben Affleck called a kid a retard.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Unscripted.
Shall we talk about the lessons of the movie? What we learned?
I think you should have taken a shit in the book to see how he would have reacted. I know I've pissed and jerked off and now shit in the book, but I just really want to know how the Babadook would have taken that.
You don't understand. What you do to the book happens in real life, Preston.
I'm a dork on my book. Dork on book.
Playtime's over. Duke.
Maybe the Babadook would just bring you a toilet. Like you hear it being scraped across the floor to your bedroom. Like,
Babadook, what were you born in a barn?
Why you put my book in a jar? Oh, God, no!
Seriously, who does that?
What's wrong with you?
Let me out of this house!
Baba, what the fuck?
In the end, she turns it into a happy scrapbook.
Oh my God, what if they did get rid of his book and he came into the digital age like they did in The Ring, where they got rid of the videotape and just made it something on the web? Could he be like the Baba Nuke?
No, it's the end of The Ring. They got to copy it in order to save it, so they sell it on Etsy. Oh, look, honey, with the handcrafted card. It says it really neat calligraphy. It says it's your problem now.
Should I be troubled that this is a scratch and sniff Baba Duke book?
Why does the monitor feel sticky?
Baba Duke says, take your clothes off. Look.
Duke.
Like, lick this page. Duke. I don't like this book in my house.
Adrian,
did I learn stuff?
Yeah.
I learned that it's Mister for one thing. You gotta.
He didn't go to college for 10 years to be called just Baba Duke.
Dr. Duke.
Be careful which DVDs that you buy for your kid.
He's got a degree in being a duke.
Otherwise, your kid will put on some Femi magic show. Maybe lock the basement a little bit better.
Yeah. That was a fucked up basement for that house. I guess it used to be a sex dungeon.
Ladies and gentlemen, life's very more mysterious than it seems.
Oh, fuck you.
Mine is more of a PSA to parents
nothing
out there.
Nothing in my hands.
Your hands are vanishing.
So my PSA to parents based on this movie is, parents, if your children are bringing or a child is bringing weapons to school and not really sleeping because they're up all night creating weapons to kill the monsters, maybe you should get them some help. There's nothing wrong with getting a therapist.
In my day, we took weapons to school all the time and it didn't hurt us none. I'd bring a hand grenade to show and tell and pull the damn pin. That's what I do.
We're recording this in May, which also happens to be Mental Health Awareness Month.
So. And that's why it's my birthday.
That is exactly.
No, it doesn't stand for that. MAY, Mental Awareness Y'alls. That's what it stands for.
Yo.
What up, Cook?
You guys have anything to add? Babadook, dook, dook. Dook, dook, dook. All right, everybody, do the dance. Baba, 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 dook, dook, dook.
No.
Baba, 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 dook, 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 dook. Just the Donnie now.
Well, I did my Baba Doo for the world, and you joined in, so fuck you.
Aw, sookie, sookie.
Jerky. Oh, God damn it.
Then, in that case, I suppose it's time for me to say please, please, please. Listen, follow, rate, and review Videorama on Apple Podcasts and over on Podchaser, especially Apple Podcasts, because it helps other people find us. And, you know, we're just starting with this show, so please, please, please. And it will earn you a live on-air shout-out if you review us on Apple Podcasts. And check out our stuff on YouTube. Also, check you over on YouTube. You can see our beautiful faces.
But they can see them here.
That's what I'm saying. They can't see our beautiful faces on Spotify.
Let the boy sleep in your bed.
If the boy wants to cuddle, then you cuddle, goddammit. Also, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/videoramapod. That, of course, is VideoRamaPod. Remember, you can find Videorama on the social medias, especially on Twitter, at VideoramaP. You can visit our, and that's not P-E-E, it's the letter P.
It sounds like you're in.
You can, once I finally get it up, you can check out our website at videoramapod.com. And you can always write to us at videoramapod@gmail.com. Check out my other podcast about witches in history. And sometimes we also cover heroic animals and just plain awesome animals. It's called Bedknobs and Broomflicks. That's BROOMFLICKS. You know we're good because we got licks at the end.
Also, bollocks.
Yeah. Check me out, and there's some other show called Cage's Fist or something like that where you could see a saw. Adrian, where can the people find you?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, I'm wearing the sweater. Oh, yeah, booby buddies.
I'm Adrian, and you can find me on DeviantArt.com under Leo the Fox, all lowercase, all one word, LEOTHEFOX. I have like fucking 3,000 artworks and stories on there, and you could endure those in some form. Don't bite it off all at once. It'll just hurt you. And I'm on Patreon under the same thing. I'd sure like some money. I'm not getting paid all that much these days. More on that later. I'm on YouTube under AA Smith, and I definitely post videos on there, and I'm definitely not slacking about posting videos there. That would never happen. Give me money.
Yeah, the streets are hard, especially working the streets are hard right now in pandemic times.
Yeah,
so. Patriot can use your help.
Girl, these shoes.
Man's gotta work.
Man's gotta eat, Mr. Leahy.
I just need enough for a shook up Diet Coke between clients. That's all.
A warm shook up Diet Coke.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I should mention, if you become a Patreon on Videorama Pod, at a certain level, you could even make a suggestion for a movie or a theme. And at a certain level, you can also be a guest. So check it out. It's awesome. And at the lower levels, you get stickers and shit. So assuming that I ever get them made.
Yeah. Come and play with us.
Well, you can find me on top of Adrian's grandma, because that's how I roll, son.
She's friendly.
Which one? I have two living grandmas. Two.
Well, I know. The other one's concerned about you. We talked about it last night. I am also on Unreal Goals, the Twitter handle. I'm also Stilgar the Twi'lek on Instagram, Unreal Goals, the kitty cat face man over on YouTubes. And yeah, aside being outside by Arby's, I'll be fucking your moms tonight.
And having two live grandmas is a weird brag, Adrian.
Yeah, I was born, I had a great grandma too, but she's with God now.
She's with the duck.
Take a look.
I'm down to one grandpa though.
That ain't my fault.
Anyway, so... Adrian!
I didn't hurt nobody!
Donnie didn't hurt nobody. Adrian, do you have a referral for the decrepit old woman?
I do have a selection for the old woman, and it's by a lady with clothes on and everything. I'll tell you all about it. It's...
Wait, are we doing a freeze frame? I am.